Abby, if you'll dig in my purse, there's a pair of readers. For some reason, my contacts have, I'm using an old pair, and I cannot see small print. So look at your neighbor again and say, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Pastor Hank is recuperating from a little stomach bug. If I didn't mention that, if you'll just pray for him and pray that we don't get it. Amen? Philippians 4, verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, stand fast in the Lord. And then we're going to drop down to verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Then verse 8, finally, and whenever a preacher or a pastor says finally, we know what that means, don't we? Nothing. Okay, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, any praiseworthy, think on these things. Someone say, think on these things. And he goes on to say, the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw me do, put these things into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Look at your neighbor and say, the God of peace is with you. Is there anything better than that? Let's pray. Father, we welcome your Holy Spirit into this room. I love you, Holy Spirit. I thank you that Jesus said you're the teacher. And I ask you to speak to my brothers and sisters. Bring things to the table, sir, that they need to hear. Remove things that are not necessary. You know them. You love them. You came for them today. Lord, I pray that you would use me this morning for your glory and for the furtherance of your gospel in my brothers and sisters. In Christ's name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. I love this. Hold that thought. When you get 53 and you're talking to someone and you say, hold that thought, it's usually because a phone call has come, right? And it also gets to be, you don't want to forget what you were going to say, amen? So you say, hold that thought. Paul says, stand firm in this way. And it's interesting, he's not just talking about a lion's den or a brave heart, but he's saying, stand firm in everyday life. Someone say, stand firm. In times that you don't feel you're making progress, stand firm. Sometimes just standing is a sign of strength. Sometimes just standing is a sign of strength. My precious nephew is an ordained minister, pastor, a schoolmaster of a large school in Louisiana, posted this link this week, and I was fascinated with it. And it came to my mind right as I was leaving the house, and I printed it. It's because sometimes it says, when risking it all for God means staying right where you are. We've sat in multiple groups and settings where people have said, risk it all for God. And we get this mental mindset of go to Africa and starve and eat lizards. Come on, somebody. Risk it all for God and just get in your Volkswagen, people, with no money to your name and just start driving. And wherever your Volkswagen ends, just give somebody the love of Jesus. Come on, somebody. In this social media crazy world, we envision risking it all with the selfies that everyone is taking of jumping off canyons. Come on. Coming out of a plane. Doing all those things. But listen to this statement. What if risking it all means you staying right where you are? You see, sometimes stepping out of the boat is not step, leave, go, and abandon. But it is, I'm going to step out of the boat in a society that is constantly telling us to chase the latest and the greatest. What if more often than not, the riskier thing to do for God is to stay where you are, keep doing what you're doing for the time being, and keeping your feet in a firm place. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise for that good word, standing firm. You see, we need to learn to stand firm. And Paul says you can do that by holding your thought. You see, we talked last week, we can't control the conditions around us. Is anybody else aware of that? You can't even control the hair on your head. Look at your neighbor and know that's right. You cannot. Good thing I have people to help me control mine on Sundays. You can't even control your own hair, people. You can't control your dog. My Chihuahua will bark. We've had him for years. We love him. We give him a beautiful place to dwell in safety. But he continues to think that he is Rambo of the neighborhood and to bark at large dogs. Amen, Pastor Todd, who house, he also barks at anyone. He chases. The hair goes up on his back. I can't even control my Chihuahua. So why should I think I can control you? Look at your neighbor and say, I know you can't control me. I know you can't control me. We cannot control conditions around us, but we can control our reaction and the atmosphere around us. We can change that. Paul said the God of peace will be with you. He says, think about these things, and he makes a catalog of great things to think about. Now, some of you are way too young. You're way too young to remember catalogs. How many of the older saints who rode this morning by horseback remember catalogs? Hallelujah. When they would come at Christmas time, it was a beautiful day. That Sears catalog, that Penny's catalog, we would get out our trusted pen, and we would begin to circle, and Mama would say, circle your three top favorites. And then you knew what you were getting, but hey, at least you had the power of freedom of choice. Come on, somebody. It was wonderful. I made the mistake with Christine, who has a gene for shopping. Courtney, she don't care too much for shopping, but Christine, two steps in anywhere, she finds a purchase she wants to. And if she's got money, she had some, Billy Burt took an offering for her. She spent every penny of it in California at Forever 21. Come on, somebody. But she's got a shopping gene. And I gave her a little Toys R Us, you know, trying to keep her occupied so Mommy could do something. When she's about two, and I thought, oh, she's too young to understand this whole theory. I'm telling you, people, there was not one thing uncircled in that catalog. I mean, there was trucks, and there was makers of spiders and Venus. And I'm like, Christine, you don't want all this. But she said, Mommy, looks so good to me. Looks so good to me. And that was the beautiful thing about catalog. Now you people have to suffer with Pinterest, which is another thing. And yesterday, Christine sent me 16 text messages off of her Pinterest account of things she might be wanting for Christmas. Someone say, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. But you see, Paul gives you a catalog of what to hold on to. Because if you are not holding the right thought, the wrong thought is holding you today. You see, he gives you a catalog of whatsoever things are noble and pure and lovely and of good report, of true. Think on these things. You see, we make fear and faith like they're so not common and not interest, but they have a lot in common. First of all, fear and faith have this in common. They both believe that something that hasn't happened is going to happen. Fear believes that something that hasn't happened is going to happen. But guess what? Faith believes the same thing. Faith, true, authentic faith that comes from you listening to the word and having your faith built, believes that something that hasn't happened will happen. And also, fear and faith both are the result of focus. Everyone say focus. You see, whatever you're dwelling on today, whatever you and I are dwelling on, is going to lead us into fear or it's going to lead us into faith. You see, whatever we are focusing on, and Paul says, don't make this more complicated than it is. A friend of mine was telling me recently, his son is playing ball, and he's 7 years old, and he seems to have a real niche for it or whatever. And he was saying to the coach, you know, I feel so inadequate. I never played ball. I wrestled, and I don't know how to. And the guy said, hey, wait. You're making this way too complicated. At 7 years old, there's one thing that will help them no matter what sport they're in, and it is keep your eyes on the ball. And guess what? We make our Christianity, our faith, we talk Wednesday night, things that complicate and take our joy, and one of the biggest joy stealers was making things too complicated. We make things too complicated when we forget that the focus, keeping our eyes on Christ. I know it seems crazy and redundant, maybe to some of you, that we keep bringing up Christ in the church. But guess what? He is the head. He is the center. He is everything. Can I get an amen? Keep your eyes on Christ. It's funny. You know why Atkins diet did so good? Because they told people, don't focus on everything you can't eat, like cinnamon rolls and mashed potatoes, help me, Lord, and macaroni and cheese and biscuits, but just focus on all the meat in the universe. You can eat a pig. You can eat a whole pig from the front to the end. I mean, once he's been cooked, please don't cast me out here. You can eat as much steak as you want, and guess what? People went crazy on Atkins until one New York Times wrote that a baked potato in New York City became like a hand grenade. People ran from a potato. Why? Because they focused on what they could have instead of what they couldn't have. But we often focus on what we can have. Back when I was growing up, the focus, even in the church, unfortunately, was all the things you couldn't do. The church I grew up with, which I love, so thankful for my foundation, but at that time you couldn't wear makeup, you couldn't wear jewelry. If you're a woman, basically you need to look as ugly as you could. Men, oh, they could spruce it up with hankies and all kind of hats. But women didn't need to look good. And you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that. And somehow the grace of Jesus came into our universe, into that denomination, into me and all of us that taught us, you know what? When you come to Christ, we need to tell you what you can have. We need to tell you all that is available. We need to give you a catalog and say, hey, here's the catalog of Christianity. When you are absolutely bombarded with doubt, guess what? You can have faith. Guess what? When you are so afraid, you're like a poster child for Thriller. Come on, somebody. The grace of God can bring you courage. There is so much that we can have. Somebody give him praise because it's true. There is so much we can have in Jesus. Hold that thought. Look at your neighbor and say, hold that thought. Eve focused on the one thing she could not have in the garden, Leah. She focused, Gary, on the one thing she couldn't have. There was so much in the garden. And isn't that the way we live our life? Doesn't that steal our faith, our joy, our peace? We focus on the things that we don't have. Faith is the byproduct of focus. And maybe Rhonda Davis needs to stop saying, I wish I had more faith. I wish I had more faith. And maybe Rhonda Davis, taking the pointed finger off of you, needs to focus on some different things. Maybe we need to get our eyes and our focus on things. You know, we were going through Lamaze. I don't know if this is still true. I don't know if does a Lamaze even exist anymore. But in Lamaze, you know, they would tell you focus while you're breathing. When you give birth. And you know my story. I'm not going to retell it because I've retold it several times. But I so believed I would focus on this little animal thing that I had chosen. I don't know why I chose that. And I put it at the end of my table. But I couldn't focus. When the pain came, I didn't go through the Lamaze classes. I just listened to a tape that said supernatural childbirth. If you will listen to this tape, you can go right in there. And you can confess the word of God. And you don't need epidural. You don't need Demerol. Supernatural childbirth. And a friend of mine, acquaintance, we ate dinner with. And she said, you just are not a Christian if you can't do supernatural childbirth. I was just young enough to believe such stupidity. And so I went in to the delivery room, you know, ready to confess and not going to take epidural. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to speak in tongues and prophesy. I have a word for the anesthesiologist. I have a word for everyone that comes around me. And I am going to sing hallelujah. The child is coming forth. But as Courtney started to try to make her entrance, that all went out the door, people. I began to be completely freaked out. In fact, that cardinal thing that Pastor and I love to tell, where he's rubbing my back, and I said, God, God, where are you? And Pastor said, honey, God is here. God is here. I said, no, he's not. I don't see him. I don't sense him. Pastor said, it was like a scene off The Exorcist. My head was spinning. And he looked at the nurse and he said, I don't know what you got to do, but please go get us help. I don't know who this woman is. I've never met her. I've been married to her for 2 years, and I promise you, I don't know her. But the funny thing is, on videotape, back in that day, you could videotape your birth. They don't let you do that anymore. And actually, you videotaped it. My Dr. Powell told me, videotape it so when friends come over and they don't want to leave, you just break out the birth. And they'll be heading out the front door. And so this videotape is going on of the birth, and on the video, it shows me, yes, I am singing and I am prophesying after I've had an epidural. And I'm blessing the anesthesiologist. I mean, it's ridiculous. I bless you, sir. I mean, yes, it all came out of me. I bless you, sir. I just want to tell you that you are favored by the Most High God. You know, sometimes we don't keep our eyes on the right thing, and we have to regroup and help the Lord and say, you know what? I have not kept my focus. I've been holding on to a thought I should not be holding on to, and I need your help. I need a supernatural getting through this. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a hand. I need a supernatural. You see, keep your eyes on Christ. And it's funny, because if that's the catalog of all the right things, Mish, here's the catalog of all the wrong things, in case you're wondering. Paul in 2 Corinthians, I made White mad. I'm sorry, buddy. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, or whoever that was in her arms. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Someone say, not carnal. But they are mighty in God, that we cast down arguments. Someone say, arguments. And every high thing that exalts itself against Christ. Someone say, every high thing that exalts itself before Christ. You see, Paul is saying, if the catalog of the right things, and if you hold on to those, you're going to get victory. But if you hold on to the list in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, it is not going to go well for you. If you hold on to 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 to the degree that you don't tear down those arguments, and all of the sudden, you see, because here's the deal. We can say often an argument is something that says you are something, but God has said you're something else. Amen? God gives us a promise, but our circumstance doesn't look like that promise. And all of the sudden, we find ourselves needing to take captive every thought that comes against us and against the Lordship of Christ. What is holding you back this morning? I'm already halfway done. What is holding you back? Maybe almost halfway done. We can hear your neighbor say, maybe, maybe. Sometimes she thinks she is, but she's not. What is holding you back? You see, we often list the things that are holding us back, Misty. This is what's holding me back. This person is what's holding me back. This weakness is what's holding me back. But you know what? Maybe it's not the things. Maybe what is holding you and I back, we'll get to that in a moment. Maybe we should realize that somebody in the world right now is winning with the same hand that Rhonda Davis thinks she can't win with. Right now, the same thing that I would tell you, that weakness, that fear, my past, my regrets, maybe what's holding me back is not the thing, because I heard Bishop Jake say years ago, and it slapped me between the eyes. He said, someone has been dealt the same hand you have, and they're winning. They're up off their feet. They're walking in courage and wisdom. And I remind myself that God does not have any fourth or fifth step children. A lot of us are step parents, and so I hate to even use that. But think of Cinderella, and there's an adequate visual. God doesn't have those kind of children. God loves each of us. There are no favorites. Look at your neighbor and say, you are his favorite. So hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought. You see, if you think, maybe it's not the thing, Pastor Todd, maybe it's what I'm thinking about the thing that's making the difference. Because somebody else has got the same thing, David Layer, but they're thinking different about that thing. They're seeing hope. They're seeing an answer. Maybe it is the thing, you see. We pick the things and we hold on to them. And we hold that thought. And that thought then holds us. The thoughts that we hold on to should be the thoughts. You know what? Look at your neighbor again and just say, hold that thought. You're not going to forget that title. Hold that thought. That means when a thought of goodness of God comes to you, hold on to that thought, Nicole. That means when the thought comes to you, I can do all things through Christ, hold on to that thought. When that thought comes to you and says, I am going to be all right. God's going to work this for my good. I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like what I'm feeling, but I know that God is going to help me. You need to hold on to that thought. You notice that Paul doesn't say, hold on to the facts. Look at your neighbor and say, don't hold on to the facts. You don't hold on the fact. Pastor Hank has taught us so much on that. I'll just say this one thing. The fact was that Jesus was crucified on Calvary. The fact was that his ragtag little band deserted him. They denied they knew him. His ragtag followers hid and ran. He was in the grave all day Saturday. But the truth is that Jesus did kick the you-know-what out of hell, and the Spirit did raise him from the caverns of the damned, and he did go to the right hand of the Father. So you can, come on somebody, you can leave it at facts or you can speak truth. Someone say, you can leave it at facts or you can speak truth. I do think that we are to let it go. This morning we sang, let go of your care, let go of your anxiety. And my goodness, if there is not a song that's known everywhere, it is, let it go. Let it go. Don't worry about it anymore. I'll do my hand up. Anyway, I don't remember the words. But it's from Frozen, in case you've been living underneath a rock. The all-time grossing movie of all time. Unbelievable. But let me tell you something. I've learned something about thoughts. I can let thoughts go, be love, and they come back like a boomerang. If I just say, I'm just going to let you go. I'm just going to let you go. I'm going to let you go, you negative thought. You thought that comes against the Lordship of Christ. I'm just going to let you go. they boomerang and they come back with seven more of their best friends. Can I get a witness? They bring six of their cousins with them. Let it go does not work. You've got to realize you've got terrorist thoughts that have been dispatched from the enemy to destroy you. Now, I have never interrogated a terrorist, Wendy, but I have watched a lot of Jack Bauer. And because of that, I feel that I am an authority. Now, we watch so much 24. In fact, DirecTV runs a new season every few weeks. I don't really watch it. I do what the guys, women do. My pastor watches it. I clean in the kitchen and I fold clothes and then I come and stand for a couple of minutes. Pastor says, why don't you just sit down? You've been watching it with me for an hour. No, I've got too much to do. But what did she just say to him? But watching all that 24, I've realized when you watch them interrogate a terrorist, they begin to, number one, try to find out, where did you come from? You need to ask your thoughts. You need to ask yourself about that thought that you're thinking, that you're holding on to. Because if you hold on to the wrong thing, it will hold on to you. You see, maybe you fear commitment this morning because the last person you committed to, the last 20, can I get a witness, walked off from you. And so you fear commitment or relationship, whether it's a friendship, a church relationship, a serving relationship. But 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, if you don't command these thoughts to leave you, they will take the greater hold of you. In fact, Paul says, take captive. Look at your neighbor and say, take captive. Take captive. That's like a prisoner of war statement. Interrogate your imagination. Find out, number one, where did you come from? If you're not true or lovely, if you're a voice that's taking hope out of my heart, you came from one place. You did not come from God and you did not come from the Word. If you came to make me feel bad about myself, if you came to make me feel fearful, if you came to make me feel anxious, if you came to make me feel horrible, you are not from God. That great day, I mentioned it Wednesday night, but I've been kind of on a get out of my seat tour recently. Maybe we'll reboot that in this next year, but I've been kind of traveling and preaching, get out of my seat again. And in there, you know, I tell that story where I broke into that house in the neighborhood behind me. Because I thought the man was trying to kill me, and he was actually a man that lived at that house. And I mentioned that last time. But, you know, it's a hilarious story, and it's funny because the last place I was a very interracial crowd, which is so much fun. I mean, people just started standing up and just pointing. I mean, they just started walking. I mean, they knew where it was going because they'd all been there. We've all been there when a thought, we didn't take into mind where the thought came from. Good thoughts will lead into your future. Good thoughts will hold you into your destiny. But you know what? You need to interrogate your thoughts. Someone say, interrogate your thoughts. And just say in your mind, you know what? Where'd you come from? You know what you need to do? You need to TSA your thoughts. If you've not flown recently, you have no idea of the upgrade of TSA. Not only do you unpack everything, take your shoes off, my fellow travelers will understand, you take your shoes off, you take your jewelry off, you unload your laptop, you take your everything off almost, you feel, you're going to strip down without anything on. I mean, it's going to be the next thing. Dear God, I'm not going to fly at that point. Can I get an amen from anybody? I am going to drive in a car. If I have to drive 37 hours to California, I'm not stripping to the nakedness. Can I get an amen? But at any rate, TSA, you have to go through these things. Occasionally, Chris Vernon gets a lot of pre-checks because he's just Chris Vernon. And I got one recently. And it was fabulous. I didn't have to go through the scanner. Because when a woman goes through a scanner, can I just get an amen in the house? I mean, there is that inclination. I'm not going to say what it is, but you're going to hold your breath. Can I get an amen from any woman? You know what I'm talking about. You go through that scanner because you don't know what. Well, how much can they see? I mean, I've seen pictures of what they can see. You have to go through that. And it happens every time I have on a necklace. And I always say to the pre-check person, you think this is okay? Yes, that's okay. Just turn it to the back. Turn it to the back. So I turn it to the back. I come through. I do the stand still and be scanned. I come out and all of a sudden they come with gloves. We need to pat you down. We need to pat you down. Like, oh, is it the necklace? Probably so, but I'm still going to pat you down. Thank God it's always a woman. Can I get an amen? And they begin, but what are they looking for? They're looking for weapons. They're looking for things that could take a plane down. And I thank God for TSA. I would not want to fly without them. I thank God that they put us through a detector and say, do you have a weapon on you? Some of you need to take the thoughts that are coming into your mind. Rhonda Davis needs to take the thoughts that's coming into her mind and walk them through a TSA and say, you know what? You're coming under the radar of the Word of God. You're coming under the radar of who Christ is. And I'm going to absolutely absolutely go up and down you and say, if you are anxiety, you did not come from God, you came from Lucifer. If your name is depression, you did not come from God, you came from Lucifer. If your name is fear, you did not come from God, you came from Lucifer. I'm putting you through this TSA thing, and I'm telling you panic, I'm telling you worry, that 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 says, I can take you captive. Listen, brothers and sisters, you need to flash your badge of authority. Look at your neighbor and say, flash your badge of authority. You need to flash that badge of authority. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, would not have written in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 that we can take authority and take a thought captive and say to it, you know what? I have authority over you. I have authority over you. You see, often, and if I had a little person in the room, I don't see a little bitty tiny one that knows me and I want to freak anybody out. So let me just do it without it. Huh? Where's Brittany? I didn't see Brittany. Oh, Brittany's holding a baby. Brittany, get up here. Just put that baby in the arm. Someone give Brittany a hand. Yeah, I was thinking of Brittany, but I couldn't see her. Thank you, Leah. You see, this is what often happens. Brittany is going to symbolize the 2 Corinthians 10, 5 thought. The thoughts that are against the lordship of Jesus, against everything good and pure and lovely. The thoughts that tear you down or tear down your relationships with others. You hold that, baby. Now, you just start walking. You see, the thought is leading me unless I take the thought captive. But what do? Just stand there, baby. We entertain the thought. I did a drama one time where I entertained the enemy. That's what we do. I mean, we serve him tea. We talk. Instead of treating it like a terrorist and say, where did you come from? And I take authority over you. Anxiety, you have no place in me. Jesus has given me the authority. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with his badge. Someone say, his badge of authority. That's the credit card you hold. It is not your own righteousness. It is not mine. That's when you get into funky territory and think that you can't take authority, if you're from Georgia, and you can't take authority unless you have done 7 Hail Marys. Come on, somebody. Unless you have risen to some kind of echelon of super spiritual sensitivity of someone you see. Jesus paid a price. Jesus gave you and I authority. There is no badge that Rhonda Davis could ever wear that would make any sense as to who Rhonda Davis is. But the badge of the name and the lordship of Jesus Christ is recognized in the heavenlies and in the lower regions of hell. Someone give the praise to Jesus. That's why we shout his name and see the walls come tumbling down. Let me tell you something. Just watch me while we're right here. You good? One night, I was watching a chick flick. Christine had not been born. Courtney was at a friend. Pastor Hank was on a hunting trip with two of his favorite men ministers. And I had watched 2 chick flicks. I'd eaten a whole pizza almost by myself. Come on, somebody. And I was relaxing, and I was enjoying that night, and I deserved it. I had worked. I counseled so many people that week. Honestly, it's like hell had unleashed many, many years ago. And I was just enjoying myself, eating that pizza. And for you women, yes, I was wearing pants with elastic because that is a must if you're going to eat like that. So anyway, I'm laying on the couch and I'm enjoying doing all of this. And all of a sudden the phone rings. That was back in landline before you had cell phone. And I answered the phone and I could hear on the other end immediately what I knew was the sound of someone in demonic possession. I could hear another voice with a person saying, Sister Rhonda, Sister Rhonda. And that's what they called me back then. I was also a nun, if you didn't know that. But they said, Sister Rhonda, Sister Rhonda. And they said, we have a situation. And I knew immediately they were going to tell me the situation. Well, let me tell you what I did at that time, because I didn't have the understanding that I have now. And this is going to help you. I reached up and I put the person on hold. And when I put him on hold, I said to the Lord, I don't know what you're thinking. Because I've been laying here. Do you not know I've been laying here for 4 hours? I can't even breathe because I'm not only in the pizza, but I went and got Rocky Road out of the freezer. I mean, I'm sick. I'm so full. I've been laying here for 4 hours. And I don't know if you know or not. And this is the way I was saying it, a little kinder, I'm sure. I don't know if you know or not, but I have not even thought about your people for 4 solid hours. They've not even come on my radar. In fact, I'm not even sure I've thought about you, Most High God. And now I've got a situation on the other phone. And the Holy Spirit whispered something in my ear so strong, rebuked with so much love. He said, wow, So everything that you have ever done in Christ's name has been because of your power and your strength. Whoa. Well, we need to change your name to Jesus. Because obviously you are so awesome and you are so glorious. If everything had to do with you that you've ever done, every prayer that you've prayed, because you had stepped on some kind of higher echelon and because you had, you know, worshiped for 10 minutes, which I'm all about worship. I'm all about the word. Y'all all know that. He said, but if it's all about you, then you just need to go forth. But he said, I have a suggestion. While you've been resting, I am the spirit who has traveled to Guatemala, to Ecuador, to Australia. I am all over the world. I've been raising people to heaven. I've been giving new babies to this earth. So let me tell you something. You may not feel you're qualified or ready for this moment, but I am the spirit of the Almighty God. And all I need is a voice and a willing heart and a willing vision. And if you'll get back on that phone and get out of the way and let me get in the way, I am ready to deal with this. Aren't you thankful that it is the Spirit in us and the name of Jesus that gives authority? Somebody give God a shout of praise in this house. And I got on the phone and took care of it. That's authority. And I've learned since this on my very bad, worst, horrible, no good, bad day that He is great. I've learned that His power is stronger than my doubt. I've learned that if I'll just tap into who He is, all He wants is a little vessel. We're all little, it's not our size, just a human to speak through. And you see, we begin to think, I can't take authority over this thought. But the Bible says we are to take this thought captive and treat it like a prisoner of war. Hold tight, baby. And then we're to tell that thought where it's to go. And it needs to go back from whence, is that a word? It needs to go back from whence it came. That is what you are to do. You either, the thought holds you, or you hold the thought. It is your decision. Joyce Meyer, Perry Stone, Bishop Jakes, or whomever you like or don't like or whatever, cannot take your thoughts captive for you. Rhonda Davis can't. I love you, but I can't take your thoughts captive. I can't dig into your mind like a surgeon, but only you can say, I am saved by the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to take my badge of authority, and I'm going to tell this thought, you do not belong here. Thank you, Brittany. Somebody give Brittany a big hand of love, you girl. Josh, if you'll come help me. Take that, not quite done, but getting there. The second thing you need to do with a terrorist thought is to ask it where it's going. Someone say where it's going. Someone say where it's going. Usually with a terrorist, they are discerning by where the terrorist is going, what the next mission is. Listen to this. Listen. When a thought comes of anxiety, you know the cue is to the mission. The devil wants to rack your nerves. When a thought of doubt comes, you know the mission of the enemy. He wants to steal your faith. When a thought of relapsing into something you've come out, it comes, you know the mission is to get you off your place. When a thought of unworthiness comes, you know it's a cue to the mission. You know where that unworthiness will take you. We all have things that we know. I could pass the mic around for an hour this morning. And we could talk about those thoughts. We each could say, I know right now. I guarantee you if I pass the mic, you would know. Next Sunday is Thanksgiving service. Forgot to say that. Week from today. There's no measure but 5 at 2 Hope Women and 3 of our men and women. If you've never been to one of those, we have communion. It's a beautiful Thanksgiving service. And we could pass the mic this morning and you could share how you know that thought from the enemy, you know what he's trying to do. You got to let it be a cue to the mission of the enemy. That thought was sent to destroy you, to disintegrate your dreams, incarcerate your hopes, to put you in a prison that's not physical, but it's emotional. It wants to hold you. It's held you for too long. Paul says, come back to the category. And pass that thought through the TSA thing in your mind of, is this good report? Is this lovely? Is this hopeful? And hold fast those thoughts. When that thought comes and says, I am free, hold fast that thought. I am healed, hold fast that thought. I am delivered, hold fast that thought. I am crowned with loving compassion by God. Hold fast that thought. You see, or otherwise it will begin to hold you and it will tell you what you can and can't do. What promise do you need to believe God for this morning? Listen to me by the Spirit. I'm circling the airways. What thoughts do you need to believe the Lord for? What promise? If you will hold on to that thought, everyone say, hold on to that thought. Tell that other thought, take it captive. Take a dagger to it and say, no, 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 no. I will not entertain you. What does that look like, Pastor Ron? And I'm a teacher. I like to give a visual. In your mind, it means when that thought comes, you refuse to think it. You can switch your mind. Read out loud. I taught someone that one time that couldn't control their mind. Begin to read the word out loud. You can't read out loud and think another thought. If you keep pressing, well, that thought comes and then I can't read. Keep reading. Or begin to think, memorize scripture, begin to think those thoughts. Or just the good power thoughts of God loves me. God is for me. Sometimes that's the simplest thing. Anybody with me? Sometimes I just need to think God is for me. He loves me. He has a good plan for me. God is working all this for my good. If I could tell you how many times that scripture has been used in my life to bring victory, to just simply say, you know what? God is working this for my good. What promise are you believing for today? Is it the salvation of children, of grandchildren? Is it financial advancement? Is it a job? Is it total freedom recovery? Is it for someone? That promise, you can get to there. You can get to that destiny. Rhonda Davis can get that destiny no matter what the things are. It's nothing but a thing that we're going through, we talked about last week. We got to speak peace to our own waves inside. It's no but a thing, if I might say it that way. Nothing but a thing. No thing can separate you from God. No little thing. But you see, whatever you're believing for, you've got to hold on to the pure, the lovely, the good report. If Abraham had not held on to the lovely, the good report, the virtuous, the praiseworthy, he would have never believed God and held the promise of that son, and Israel would not exist today. If King David had not held on to that thought, he'd have never made it through every sin he went through and the battles of being chased down by his spiritual father. He would have never held the destiny. Deborah would have never gone to the high mountain with Barak and seen God absolutely slam chariots in the mud. If Deborah had not held on to the thought, if God be for me, who can be against me? Gideon would have never ran down and seen the enemies of God destroyed if he had not taken captive the thought that said, you're the least Gideon, you're the littlest Gideon, you never do anything right, Gideon, you're the bottom of the class, Gideon. But he took those thoughts captive and he began to hold on to a thought so much that when he ran down in there to destroy the enemies of God, he said, for the Lord and Gideon. He got his own name in there because he held on to the thought, if God be for me, he is more than the world against me. Can somebody praise him? Joshua saw the walls of Jericho fall down that they sang about this morning because he held on to the thought that God said this was the right way. We don't always understand the path that God chooses into our individual life for healing and wholeness. They're not all cookie cutter. They're not all the same. But they come to the same catalog of God's healing power. And Joshua could have circled those walls in those 6 days and think, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. How can this be the answer? But you know what? He held on to the thought that God said. And I'm sure every time one of those negative thoughts, you think people just started getting hit on this side of Calvary? Oh no, people. They were hit on that side of Calvary too. And I'm sure Joshua had every weary thought coming of nothing good's going to come out of this. This is never going to happen. Healing is never going to be fulfilled. I'm never going to get out of this situation. But you know what? He held on, and guess what? The walls of Jericho did fall, and Joshua began to help the people of God take their promised land. And for you and I and every New Testament believer, we got to hold on. Paul says from prison, hold on to the pure and the lovely, the virtuous, the things that are true, and cast down every negative thing. How can a man sit in prison chained to guards there under the false accusation of blaspheming against the Most High God? It was the worst thing in that civilization to be accused of falsely, that you've blasphemed God. That was the ultimate, the epitome of all sin. How do you sit in there and say, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor rulers present or to come shall ever separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Because Paul was sitting somewhere thinking different about his situation. And whatever you go home today, I challenge you by the Spirit of the Lord, before I wrap this up, I challenge you and I challenge Rhonda Davis, think differently about what you're facing and see what God can do. Yes! See what God can do. See what God can do. Let me say this in closing. I want to have you stand. We're going to pray together. An awesome passage that I wanted to share in 2 Chronicles 20:1. Listen to me. The people, yeah, you can stand all over the building. Thank you. I didn't make that clear. Stand. Some were standing, some not. Just please stand, everyone, if you will, please. 2 Chronicles 20:1. Listen. The people of God are surrounded by the Moabites and the Ammonites. And it said, and others, someone say, and others, came to battle against King Jehoshaphat of Israel. Verse 12, he says, we have no power, O God, against this multitude that is coming against us. Listen, nor do we know what to do. Wow, how many times are we there? Anybody me say, God, I just don't know what to do. Anybody else? God, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do in this situation, Lord. I'm one of those not so smart, not so cute people that constantly ask for help. And I thank God for my lack of smartness and cuteness. It makes me dependent upon him. What should I do? What should I do? But Jehoshaphat says, Lord, they're all around me. I don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Say, keep your eyes on God. Remember, keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on God. And I love what God says to them. He comes back. Listen, this is the thought they're going to hold on to. And we're almost done. God says, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude of, for the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. Don't be afraid, the Lord would say, before we finish, of the great multitude of thoughts that you're trying to think positive about, or things that you're battling. It seems like before you get a cup of coffee, sometimes you can be surrounded by negativity. Anybody else? Before you get your hot tea, you can be surrounded by news, whether about another beheaded by ISIS or something going on here or there. But God says, the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. Say, do not be afraid or dismayed, for the battle is the Lord's. He goes on to say, but position yourself. Remember in the beginning when Paul said, stand firm? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Remember, we open up, why don't you take a risk and stand still? Why don't you take a risk and stand still? Do not be afraid or dismayed, he goes on to say, the Lord does, because the Lord is with you. Did you hear that? The Lord is with you. 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 There's a promise I tell my baby girls and myself over and over, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Those that work close to me, the emails, no, we say that to each other. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with us. It makes all the difference in the world when the Lord is with you. And he is with you, dearly beloved children of God. He who gave and did not spare his only son, his name is Father God. He is with you. Say, he is with me. So this is what they did. Josh, you love this. You know this story. Said, this is what God said. Just send out the singers and the musicians first. Let them begin to say, praise the Lord. For his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. See, they couldn't change the situation, but they can change the atmosphere. So can you. So can you. So can I. They began to change the atmosphere by just saying, praise the Lord. And the singers, I'm sure the other end of the battle thought, dear God, why are the guitarists coming toward us? Why are the flutists coming? Why are the singers in their choir robes coming toward us? I don't see no swords. But what they didn't know, the sword of praise was in their mouth and in their hands. And the sword of praise would cut through the heavenlies and do what a gun couldn't even do. And God was going to get the victory. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And they began to sing that the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. Just like we talked last week, with thanksgiving, we make our requests known to God. Glory to God. We praise you, Father, for everything you've ever done. I've told you before, that's one way I begin pray when I feel real distressed. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that my baby is alive, Lord Courtney. Thank you, Lord, that she made it. Thank you for healing my marriage. And thank you for getting my husband off coke. I thank you, Lord God, when my heart was broken. I give you praise for that battle. I worship you. I'm telling you, you begin to think on the pure and the lovely, and you begin to speak it. The atmosphere begins to shift, and anxiety says, whoa, I'm out of here. And fear says, I have no walk here. And and distress says, this is not my place. And doubt says, I don't know what this is. You see, sometimes we do it by playing music, but I'm going to tell you, there ain't nothing like you lifting up your own voice. You don't got to be a good singer. You don't have to be qualified to sing. I'm telling you, speak what you can't sing. Sing it. If you're in the car by yourself feeling anxious, no one else is hearing you, begin to sing of the Lord. It may sound crazy, but what the Lord did is, the Bible said, the Lord set ambushes in the enemy, and the enemy destroyed their own self. Israel never had to lift a sword. While they're praising God, the enemies begin to destroy each other. I've seen anxiety destroy fear. I've seen worry attack depression. When the name of the Lord comes in like a mighty strong tower, and the Bible says there was so much spoils, I like this part, that Jehoshaphat and his army for 3 days, Keith Higgins, traveled among the dead enemies, pulling off, the Bible, the New Living Translation says, valuable treasures, gold and jewels, enough to finance the greatest next to the kingdom. I praise God that he's destroying our enemies, and the spoil is on its way. I'm done. Somebody give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands to him right now. Everyone lift your hands to him. Lift your hands to him. Close your eyes. Hands to him. As your eyes are closed, if you've been